trees of green, red roses too.
Hello, this is Ed Cohen, your host today on Global Radio Talk Show, coming to you from Old Town in San Diego. Our special guest today is Mr. Mike Aitken from Society of Human Resource Management in the Washington, D.C. area. That's SHRM. Mike Aitken is Vice President Government Affairs. Mike joined SHRM in 2003. Since then, he has been responsible for all SHRM governmental affairs endeavors. Mike currently serves as SHRM's VP of Government Affairs, and he is a strategic advisor to the Society's overall external relations activities. He plays a key role in helping to set the strategic direction of SHRM, offering important counsel on educational programs and professional development opportunities. He's got over 20 years of experience working on workplace and workforce issues. Mike's a leading authority on issues important to the human resources profession, and I'm really honored to have Mike Aitken and SHRM on our show today. Let's say hi to Mike.
Well, thank you, Ed. Thank you for inviting me to your program.
Happy to have you. Okay, we're talking about what's going on with immigration in Congress and in the business community as well, and out there in the public, thirdly. Regarding employer solutions, it's been said the U.S. must create the workforce of the future, and U.S. employers need an immigration system that works for them, not against them. Would you like to comment briefly on that as a basis for going forward here?
From SHRM's perspective, we think having an immigration system that works for both employers and employees is not only vital to employer organizations' interests, but vital to the global economic interests of the United States. And that system has to work more efficiently, smarter, and provide employers with the access to global talent that it needs to be able to compete. The United States has great talent here that graduate from U.S. colleges and universities and from our public school system. But just like with raw materials, the United States doesn't have the only claim on talent. Many organizations, including member companies of SHRM and our strategic partner, the Council for Global Immigration, recruit and retain employees from around the world in order to be able to compete in this ever-global economy. We think there are three crucial pieces to having an effective immigration system. One is to be able to attract and retain talent, particularly global talent. And that it means through having an effective green card system that expedites the processing of individuals that are going to try and permanently come into the United States and in the sought after and needed skills areas, particularly in the STEM areas. Having access to temporary talent through the visa systems, whether it be things such as an H-1B visa or intercompany transfers on J and business visas and the like. Secondly, we need to have a system that is more efficient. For example, it seems rather ludicrous, but in the 21st century, we still have companies like Google and HP and Microsoft and others that are filling out the same paperwork they do for each particular applicant, whether it's their first applicant or their 10,000th applicant in a year that they're trying to get a visa on. And we think both for the United States purposes, as well as from an enforcement standpoint, as well as from companies, it'd be much better to dedicate and direct those resources to improve the visa system and go after those folks that aren't creating or not participating fully or transparently in recruiting talented foreign workers from abroad. And then last but certainly not least, we need an effective employment verification system, one in which employers have certainty that they're hiring individuals that are authorized to work in the United States. I mean, currently right now, most employers are using a rather archaic system known as the Employment Verification System, and most directly the Form I-9. It's a paper-based system that's been around since 1986 that we know is subject to a lot of fraud and manipulation by individuals who are not authorized to work in the United States. Those are the three keys to a more effective immigration system.
Great. Let me just zero in here. So we're talking about, first of all, a trusted employee, U.S. employers needing an increased efficiency in the system, right?
Correct. Trusted employer system.
Okay. And the I-9 and electronic verification, that, of course, is going on right now, isn't it?
Actually, it's not. I mean, you have right now every employer in the United States has to complete still a paper-based form I-9, which an employer has to attest that they've looked at least one, and in many instances, two pieces of documents, one verifying identity, the other verifying work authorization, and attest to this on a paper-based form. And some employers participate in an electronic system known as E-Verify that then take information provided through the I-9 process and verifies whether or not the name and number that's presented, whether it's a name and a Social Security number if you're a U.S. citizen, or a name and number and a work authorization number if you're work authorized foreign national, and compare it against first the Social Security and DHS databases to tell you if those names and numbers are authentic and if they're authorized to work in the United States. However, that system are two; those are two separate systems. They're not integrated. And again, with the I-9, it's not electronic. And most importantly, neither system can tell you whether or not the person presenting the identity actually owns the identity. So we know that there are instances where people are using stolen identities, legally issued and authorized, but don't belong to the person to gain work employment.
How are you sharing this information with legislators?
Well, SHRM recently did a survey of our members and looked at their experiences with both the employment verification system and the work and with the E-Verify system, and been sharing that information with our legislators through direct advocacy visits and with their staffs, as well as our members have been sharing that information as well through those interactions. So really through lobbying them and educating them about what's happening in the workplace and our desire for a system that really addresses those shortcomings.
So some companies are trying to speed up this process. For instance, a few years ago, Microsoft built a super high-tech plant right over the northern border in Vancouver, British Columbia, and because they can't wait. Do you see more of that happening, unfortunately?
Well, unfortunately, if we don't take steps to modernize our immigration system, and we saw this in particular after 9/11, where the United States, because of the threat of terrorism and other aspects, there was a bit of retrenchment on some of our immigration processes. And what happened as a result, and you're absolutely right, Ed, is companies moved operations offshore. Some of them went into Canada where it was easier to bring in talent to work on various different projects that needed to be done. Some of them outsourced it to other operations that they had around the world. We know in the agriculture and even some of the light manufacturing businesses, they moved to Mexico or to China or in other instances to get access to that talent. What we see happening now is there is more insourcing. You have manufacturing springing up in certain areas of the country. You have other companies, and you mentioned Microsoft and Texas Instruments and others that are starting to try and do more business here. But they need the access to the skilled talent. And we know that even within this recession, you are having situations, and arguably we're coming out of the recession, but you're having situations where employers cannot find access to certain talent, particularly in the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics areas, but in other areas as well, where we might be able to find individuals with that skill base outside and bring them into the United States to work.
So can you drill down a little about just a little bit more about STEM, STEM, and those kinds of workers?
Yeah, the science tech, it's been the case for about the last 15 years or so that particularly when you're looking in the master's and the PhD areas where the United States, individuals that are graduating from the United States in the STEM areas, in master's or PhDs, tend to be more foreign nationals than U.S. citizens. And that's not because the colleges and universities aren't trying to attract U.S. citizens to it, but U.S. citizens are going into other fields, law, medicine, and others in that area. And you're having students around the world that are coming into the United States, graduating with these advanced degrees, and then because of the way our immigration system is based, going back to their countries of origin, even if they want to stay in the United States, simply because there's not the ability, either through the green card system or through the visa process, for them to work legally in the U.S. So we train them, we educate them, and then they go back home to essentially compete against us in these other countries. So that doesn't seem like a very efficient or effective system from the United States perspective. And it puts us at a competitive disadvantage.
So personally, what is your view of the E-Verify system, and what do you think HR professionals think of the E-Verify system?
The E-Verify system, which was created in 1996 from an act of Congress, is a voluntary system. According to the survey results that we conducted of our members and of that group that participated in the survey, about 56% of them used the E-Verify system. And what the system, in their experience, did and did very well is it gives back a rather expeditiously fast response that the name and the number within the system match against the databases that they're hitting against very quickly, within a very few short minutes, sometimes just seconds, tells you that those names and numbers match. And so that gives you a little degree of certainty and cuts down on the possibility that somebody is just using a made-up name or made-up number. But what our members also told us, however, that if the following elements were included in the system, it would make it an even much better system. And that would be, for example, the ability to authenticate identity. Over 95% of respondents said that respondents could reply to more than one answer. If the system had the ability to authenticate identity, it would make it an even better system. Secondly, being able to integrate the Form I-9 within the system so that employers would just have a one-stop process. They wouldn't have to fill out two different documents and then take a step through the employment verification system. But if it was entirely integrated into a seamless electronic system, they thought that would be an improvement. And then last but not least, provide a really strong safe harbor. So if an employer makes a hiring decision based on the information that comes out of the system, that the government can't fine them or sanction them in any way if it was made based on the information from the system. And so we know that those are, again, employers are interested in having an effective verification system, one that works for both employers and employees as well, and gives certainty to the hiring process.
So do you have a committee or a group, or are you doing this yourself with the legislators? Is there an organized system for bringing in people from Microsoft and other companies with you?
Right. Ed, that's a great question. SHRM has both, as well as the Council on Global Immigration, has both a direct advocacy component. That means we have staff that directly interact and lobby with members of Congress and their staffs, as well as we have a member advocacy component. In SHRM's instance, we have about 10,000, what we call them, members of the advocacy team or the A team that directly interact and educate and communicate with members of Congress and their staffs, both here in Washington through fly-ins, but also back in their district offices to talk to them about these important issues. HR professionals and others that are involved in employment-based immigration realize we have a role to play in this. We've had a role to play since 1986 with the Immigration Reform and Control Act, but we want to be given the tools and the resources and the systems that allow us to meet our needs and to have an effective system. And right now, we don't feel the current immigration system is able to do that.
What do you think? Will people at the local level be more receptive to the idea of learning about global business and how it impacts positively, as well as perhaps to some degree negatively, on the local level?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. Sure. And it used to be, when I first started doing this 20 years ago, when you thought about low-skilled immigration, for example, you would think of certain states, California, Texas, Florida, New York, perhaps even Illinois. And we've seen over the last 20 to 25 years that changed dramatically. And you're seeing large, and particularly think of the low-skilled immigrant populations in North Carolina and the Dakotas, particularly in a lot of agriculture areas and manufacturing and other places spread out across this country. And these are people that are here, by and large, legally. So I think that's changed some of the conversation around, is immigration a good thing or a bad thing? And in fact, the data, whether it's Gallup or ABC News or CBS News, all of them fairly consistently show that the American public is in favor of a orderly, fair, legal immigration system. What frustrates people, I think, is when the system doesn't work like that, when you have folks that are coming into the country illegally, or when the system doesn't work to the advantage of the United States, for example, in the high-skilled area. So I think that is starting to trickle and translate down. Having said that, as you point out, rightly so, you're in the context of an election and a midterm election, and there is skittishness about this. We did see a bipartisan bill supported in the Senate, and we have seen elements of bipartisanship in the House trying to make a go of it. But there are some concerns about this not being, particularly in the House of Representatives, a quote-unquote blanket amnesty bill. And so Congress is going to have to weave through, if it's going to proceed this year, in a carefully crafted approach in order to try and meet the objective of being a fair and balanced immigration reform proposal. It's getting close. I think there's still time for, particularly in the House, for an immigration reform proposal to pass, probably looking more towards late spring, early summer, maybe falling as late as the fall. But once you start getting too late into the season, and into the lame duck, it becomes very difficult for that type of a system to pass. And then it's anybody's guess, with a new Congress and President Obama being in the last 2 years of office, whether there's enough energy to move forward on immigration reform in that environment, or is it something that kicks over after the presidential election in 2016? I think the jury is still out on that.
Mike Aitken, thank you very much for being our guest today on Global Radio Talk Show. How do we sum up here? What would you like our audience to do?
Well, Ed, first, thank you for having me on the program today and for the opportunity to talk with you. I think if there's anything to take away, it's probably 3 points from our perspective, is the system does need to work for employers and employees alike. We need to have access to that skilled talent wherever it comes. And again, from U.S. citizens and global citizens alike, in order to be able to compete in the 21st century. We need to have a system that is orderly and efficient and allows, particularly in this fiscally austere times with a deficit and the size the United States has, to be efficient and effective. And last but not least, we need to have faith and certainty that the system that's in place to only allow authorized individuals to work works for both employers and employees.
Can people reach out to you, or should they just go through SHRM?
Sure, Ed. They can contact me directly via email, if that's easiest, at mike.aitken, A-I-T-K-E-N, at SHRM.org.
And let me just say that in 1948, the Society for Human Resource Management, or SHRM, was formed and is now the world's largest HR membership organization devoted to human resource management, representing more than 275,000 members in over 160 countries. SHRM is a leading provider of resources to serve the needs of HR, and SHRM has more than 575 affiliated chapters in the U.S. and subsidiary offices in China, India, and the United Arab Emirates. On practicing full disclosure, I've been a longtime member of SHRM and happy to be involved. Mike Aitken, I really appreciate you and your insight here, and you can count on Global Business News to help get the word out.
And thank you again for having me on your program, and wish you best of luck to you and your readership.
Thank you very much. Okay, Ed Cohen here, editor of GlobalBusinessNews.net, and your host on Global Radio Talk Show, signing off from Old Town in San Diego.
Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful